Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight Thanksgiving Eve from the bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I'm joined by my friend Heather out there in the wilds of Montana. Heather.
Yes, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the wilds of Montana, the Flathead Valley near the Mission Mountains. And, yes, it is cold and beautiful, and the house is full of crazy relatives with great Mercury retrograde stories on the way here.
Cool.
And how are you, and how's your Mercury retrograde so far?
I've been having a frigging nightmare.
Yeah,
well, I have a Mercury Mars aspect. And so Mercury and Mars are already in a square, so it's really amplified. Well, I normally have adventures, but this has been like stuff breaking, you know, my power cord changing. Both of my assistants, Mercury, out sick, like dead sick, like, you know, like a week down with this big bad flu thing. Separate weeks. One of them is now off in California visiting her folks, but it's been really bad. And then, of course, computer adventures on top of it. So I've just been like, all right, whatever. I've been a little anal about double-checking the stuff. We had a bunch of readings just kind of disappear off the recorder.
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Just not fun. So, but I'm like, all right, Mercury's back in bounds at least. He's not out of bounds anymore. So the fires are coming down because the Mercury was in fire out of bounds. So there were out of bounds fires in California. And then... And, of course, the Saturn, the Venus retrograde's on my Venus, you know, in Scorpio. So, and it's stationed on my Neptune. So I'm just like, whatever, man. I wake up, I go, what's going to happen today? And then I go, okay, next. So, yeah, it's been that kind of month, actually. And you, I know you're my little Gemini. You've got a lot of Virgo stuff in your chart.
I've got
Virgo
with the Gemini South Node, yes. It's been relatively, you know, just full of ordinary small delays, but I've been staying home a lot. Because this Mercury is in the sign of its detriment. It's the opposite of the one that it's ruling, so it's been really wacko. But my daughter also, and my granddaughter, which are both Virgos, my daughter's also Virgo rising, is coming here from Seattle. You know, the text messages were just cracking me up. I was like, the packing was trouble. And as we had that Mars Jupiter aspect just yesterday and the day before, everybody, the tempers under an Aries moon, people were so volatile and you know, they said, high friction, Mom. He said, is Mercury retrograde? Because I'm having such a hard time. He said, yeah, Mercury's retrograde. He said, so how's packing going? She said, well, the cat just peed on our blankets. I said, oh, great. And it just
clearly he has an
opinion
about things too. Yeah,
very strong opinions, but you know, just like what could go wrong was going wrong. But they got here safely, so for that, I'm glad that it was these smaller points that got were the Mercury retrograde. Now I was thinking about, you know, how lethal Mercury retrograde can be in those fires that were so awful last week. So many people couldn't get out of town, and they were stuck in a traffic jam in a firestorm, and their tires melted.
Right.
And that just sounds like absolute agony as far as Mercury retrograde.
Well, and also that how fast they moved, you know, because Mercury's in fire, Sagittarius is candles. So it just lickety-cut, 90 miles an hour across stuff, you know, just hop, hop, hop. People didn't have time to evacuate, you know.
No.
Once it got there, it was like, you know, so very, and I have to say, you know, we've had fires before, but I don't remember this many deaths.
Unusual.
You know, this seemed very unusual to me in the death count, you know. I mean, obviously the bunnies and the rabbits and all that stuff, but the people, usually the people can get in the cars and get away. But fortunately, we're getting rid of that aspect in Mars. Mars is in water now, so he's not spreading the wind, blowing the wind around. and he's coming to Neptune, which of course then makes this holiday very emotional for people.
Yeah.
Mars in Pisces is deeply, deeply emotional. And I've had a lot of people just reporting they just want to stay home and cry. And I'm like, do it. You know, stay home and cry. You know, I went to see or go to movies. I've been doubling down on my movies. I went to see Star Is Born 3 times. I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody last night with Freddie Mercury. And I mean, it was really, was like it was Queen again. You know, I mean, it was really wonderful, wonderfully done show.
I hear it was really wonderfully done.
Yeah, it's really, it's very much. I mean, it's not my music. I'm a little older, but I mean, everybody knows we are the champions, and you know, we will rock you. I mean, it's kind of universal. Every sports event has it, you know, and of course, Bohemian Rhapsody. Who can forget that? But it was really well done, and you really got the scan of the arc of the person, of the band's development over time and their sense of community, and then also, you know, when he was kind of badly behaved for a while there, and you know how they reconciled. It was a beautiful reconciliation story too, which maybe helps
good Mercury retrograde story.
Yeah, helps us go, okay, you know, like you can have problems and you can get mad and you can stop talking and then you can work it out and everybody can live happily ever after. So,
I've seen many a meme that says, "May your Mercury be more Freddy and less retrograde."
Yeah,
less Gatorade.
Yeah.
That, and you know, he was a Virgo, September 5th.
Yes,
and
he was.
And the Queen logo has symbols of all of the members. You have the two Leos. There's two lions there.
With
you
great
have,
hair, I might add. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's the fairies at the bottom that he put down for Virgo.
Yeah.
And he has the Cancer crab. And, you know, that this was, he chose his name, Freddie Mercury, because he, when he left his Farsi name behind, and just because of he was a Virgo. So, which is lovely to
watch. And
he's
Mercury on the ascendant, interestingly.
Right.
He's Mercury rising. So it was definitely a, you know, I wonder if somebody read his astrology chart and said, well, you have a very strong Mercury because your nodes are in Gemini and you're Mercury on the ascendant and you're ruled by Mercury, you know. And, of course, you're a communicator and you have that weird mouth because he had those weird teeth.
Extra teeth.
Extra teeth in his mouth, which, of course, you know, they did pretty well. I don't think they quite got Freddy's, but they did a pretty good job with them.
Yeah.
But I guess the actor said he couldn't talk with them, and so they modified them a bit because it was a little hard to talk. You know, Freddie had a lifetime to get used to working with them. But, yeah, it was really beautifully done. Yeah.
And I gather the actor who played him is Taurus, and I think his moon is right on the Capricorn Sagittarius cusp like Freddie's was. Freddie was in Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
so they actually have astrological similarity, which you often see that with people.
Right, and Queen had stuff at 21 cap. Or Freddie had stuff at 21 cap where Pluto is.
Mm-hmm,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So his voice finally came out. You saw that, the posthumous astrology, you see that with the Doors, when the Doors came, the movie about the Doors came out.
Their
charts were just singing.
Yeah. It's very cool. Astrology, alive and well and working in your life. Even if we had a thing at the OPA conference. It's astrology is like gravity. It works even if you don't believe in it. And,
right.
You know, so it's kind of like, you don't have to worry if you believe in it or not. It works. No worries. We're not going to let you fall off the planet without telling you you're going to fall off the planet. So what are you going to give advice for this week for people dealing with Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
and the
well,
relatives?
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, the sun goes into Sagittarius and will help bring up that kind of bubbly energy. The moon heading into Gemini, so you've got the full moon early on Friday morning, and it's, you know, it will be bringing up all that conversations and talking about the past, which is wonderful, and everybody's going to be talking at the same time rather than working it through. But because that Gemini moon and the Sagittarius can add a little ADD to anybody's chart, if your relative is going off on something you don't want, you can deflect, you can defer, and redirect them. Now, in a week, that's going to be much more difficult because Mercury retrogrades back into Scorpio as Venus progresses into Scorpio, and you won't be able to change, get anybody off the track when they've
right.
got something they want to perseverate on. But this
go.
Weekend, you know, distract them like a toddler. Give them something else to talk about, think about, and let them begin to tell their story. I expect it to rain a fair amount in some places,
yeah.
hopefully not too much in the fire zone, when as Neptune stations this weekend.
Yep.
But we see this kind of, you know, we're moving into some interesting energy early next week. Do be careful on the drive home as Mercury is moving into a square with Mars and the retrograde Mercury, since moving into the square with Mars. So just be, you know, put safety absolute first on the way home.
Even if you're alert, just remember everybody else, you're alert because you're paying attention
right.
to these transits. Everybody else is going to be a little bit not alert.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to kind of watch for that energy. Also, I think with the Neptune piece, and there also Mercury is combusts the sun. So that
mm-hmm.
gives everybody a very strong opinion about stuff. Or combusts the sun by declination, interestingly. So everybody's kind of very opinionated about what they want and why they want it. And it's parallel by declination, which amplifies everybody thinking they're right. So that's the other thing is, you know, if you get into stuff at Christmas or not Christmas, Thanksgiving, thank you, Mercury retrograde. If you get into conversations at Thanksgiving where you're kind of like, and you're kind of like, you know, just like somebody change the subject. You know,
exactly.
And also because it is retrograde,
redirect.
It's a great time to meet your ghosts. So let's say you're going back home and you go to the grocery store to pick up something. You might meet your old boyfriend or girlfriend from high school.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always important because we are with Mars in the last sign of the zodiac until December 31st. This holiday season is a lot about endings and wrap ups and emotional things.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is not to look backwards, but to look forwards. There's a lot of Orpheus energy and Eurydice energy in the sky, rather than looking backwards, kind of saying, okay, that happened, and, you know, I'm melancholy about it, but now where am I, you know, what is the next chapter? Where am I heading next?
Right.
And kind of allowing that. You know, and in the case of looking back, we've got Creed opening this weekend, which, of course, is the Rocky movies, and Rocky's in it. You know, Sylvester Stallone's in it as his old-aged fighter, you know, talking to Michael Jordan, who's going to avenge his father. I mean, it's like, it's very, you know, the movies are really going to be plucking on heartstrings. So, you know, and the environment is the old and the, you know, what's coming next and where are we going? And so, you know, recognizing, my stepmother always refers to them, not the golden years, but the rusty years, you know, kind of like, how do we, you know, how do we work with that energy? So it's important for us to all know that we are going to be extra emotional. Everybody's going to be, and everybody's having this transit, so they might be emotional in their car and not really thinking and paying attention so well. So that's also really good energy to drive defensively, too.
Right.
So, yeah. And I don't know if we have any callers.
We're looking at the belligerent conversation that our president is insisting on happening. What a surprise.
The Supreme Court Justice.
I know. How about not in your own league there. Right? And So, you know, the sun, moon, this full moon is the one opposite to the one that he was born under. So
yes.
We have, that tendency, we can speak up and put our foot in our mouth, but we can take this as an interesting reflection and choose not to act like that and be a little bit more careful about what we say and notice that our opinions are our opinions. They're not necessarily true.
Right.
And if anybody wants to call in, our number to call in is 2-585-8881. And if you are on the line and you want us to call, you have to raise your hand by hitting 1. And then we see a little question mark and we'll call on you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been very interesting watching this, that some of our older issues are coming up now that Venus is moving forward is direct. We see that she's gone back and will be bringing up unfinished work from September and October, and mm-hmm. that we kind of might see some emotional completion in the first 2 weeks of December.
Right, right.
And before we talk about anything else, let's talk about the program that we're putting on in March. First weekend
right.
in March. Mm-hmm. You, me, and Mark, we're going to be presenting in New York City. We're going to spend a weekend going into electional and horary astrology, some interesting, weird points of astrology that are absolutely fascinating to work with. And I would say that Anne is one of the best I've seen at horary. So she found my keys in a really wild and unusual place.
Really
so,
wild and unusual place.
And how can they find out where to do
so it's up on my website, and we'll put it up on the Facebook page. So if you go to my website, annorley.com, you'll see sign up for the Access Astrology Weekend in March. It's an EventZilla link, and you just type in your thing. And there's it's a little cheaper if you buy it before the walk-in. Walk-in's a little more expensive, and it makes a great holiday present. It's a present, your astrology, it's a nice affordable present. So say to people, I'd like the ticket to that. And one day we're going to do horary, and then the second day we're going to do electional. So horary is where you cast a chart to find out where something went. So it's a form of using the astrology as divination. And it's very cool, and it works really, really well. And when I was younger, I had a student named Annabelle. And Annabelle was, 19, and she looked like she was 12. And so she would do readings for people, and they would look at her and go, what do you know? You're only 9. You're only 12, right? And she was very frustrated with that. And I said, why don't you do horary, because, it's like they call and they ask a question, you give them the answer, and you don't have to argue with them if you're old enough to know better.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay. So she started studying horary, and she became very good at it. And, we were in a car with a group of astrologers traveling, and one of the other astrologers was like, what's horary? I haven't even heard. It was relatively new to astrology. Haven't even heard of it. And then she watched Annabelle get all these questions, and she was answering them in the car as we were driving for $25 a pop. And and Erin goes, maybe I should learn that horary stuff. You know how much money she made on the way to Sedona? And it's a really fun form of astrology because it's quick and it's fast. It gives you the answer. You don't ask unless you want to know. And then the other thing is electing astrology. So this is a little more techie when you elect a chart, because horary astrology is just very cut and dry. It's a yes or a no, and this is how you do it. So we'll spend Saturday on horary, and then on electional we'll be on Sunday, and that is electing things, using astrology the same way you use your birth chart to say, okay, when's a good day to get married, when's a good day to start a business, to launch my website, to have surgery, to schedule my IVF so it's successful. There's a lot of different ways you can use astrology in electing, and there's different times that are better than others. So we'll cover all those rules and get you ready to be able to elect things. Of course, then you get to deal with people's anxiety when they're going, well, what about this day for my wedding? What about that? So you might not want to use it necessarily in your practice.
I don't
want to
tell anybody.
you deal with a lot of anxiety, but it is really fun to be able to look at the aspects. So, for example, when Megyn Kelly started at NBC, I said, she's out of there within a year. Right, and Katie Couric, CBS, not going to last at the anchor. And it was like boom, boom. You could just see it in the chart. You could see the timing. You could see the issues. So you can elect bad things, too. So this is a good opportunity to learn when to elect good things as opposed to bad things. And even if you're perfect at it, as Mark puts it, every chart has Saturn. So sooner or later, Saturn's going to come. There's a brilliant astrologer named Greg Christian who runs one of the companies that writes astrology software, and he was bemoaning, the company was having some really tough transits. He goes, yeah, even though I really labored over that chart and I elected a great chart, you're having crappy transits, you're having crappy transits. So it's fun, and it's a really interesting time, and it's a good, it's a really good class. You'll walk away with a lot of really good techie information. So sign up and join us. And it's March 2nd and 3rd in New York City. And I don't think we're going to be taping it because somebody's going to write and say, are you going to tape it? Schedule and come to New York. It's a beautiful time in New York.
And we
picked a good weekend. Yeah.
We did. And we have several people on the line. Shall we
Let's do some people. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hello, area code 646. You're on the air. How can we help you? Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Oh, I'm first. Hi.
You're on the air.
Yeah. I didn't guess I would be. But hi, guys.
Hi, guy.
I'm new to this.
Okay. When were you born?
22nd of October, 1998.
And
what's your birth time?
Yeah.
It would be 10:53 in the morning.
And where?
It would be in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. And do you have a question?
I wanted to know exactly. Oh, this sounds so sappy. What is
no problem.
In terms of, I guess, romance in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that's it.
Generally,
okay.
You know, you're a Libra moon in Scorpio, and Venus has been going back and forth over your whole lineup. Of course you're asking that question right now. It's a good question.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that new relationships take up a lot of energy in your thought process, and that you are also can be really good with people when you choose to be so. When you don't choose to be patient, you're not. But when you choose to be so, you look like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And was there a particular question about it, relationships? What do you see, Anne?
Well, he's a crescent moon, so you kind of get bored fast, right? And
mm-hmm.
you also have it's okay. So, you know, it's just kind of how you're built. And, of course, because your sun Venus, you're very charming, so a lot of people get really addicted to you maybe before you're addicted to them, because that sun Venus conjunction makes you delightful. People go, oh, my God, you know, and they go a little crazy over you, and you're kind of like, don't fence me in. I want my freedom, and you try and control me, and then I'm rolling, right? And you're also a Sag rising, being born at 10:53 in the morning, and that is a mutable candle.
Mm-hmm.
So it flies in, it flies out. You know, candles share their light. They run around a lot. They're not necessarily committable. Not that they don't commit, but they like their freedom. They need their freedom, like candles moving from table to table. And the ruler of your chart is, of course, Jupiter in Pisces, which is also the ocean. So it's a very restless chart. And with Mars in Virgo, you're kind of fussy. So it's, you know, you're not going to necessarily fall for just anybody. But you do have a nice chart for falling in love eventually. And it's not, you know, like don't take
and
it personally that everybody else
is. And you'll do some serious shopping between now and then. Right.
Yeah, you're going to do a bit of shopping between now. Don't take it personally that other people maybe made it and you haven't. Because your chart is a pokey mater, is what I would call you. Like if somebody brought your chart to me, I'd say, so if you talk to him about his commitment and freedom, how important freedom is to him? And if they haven't, I'd say, oh, you need to have that conversation because he will tell you the truth. And that is really important with your Mercury and Scorpio on the world point. Yeah, you do tell the truth. And so they don't always like it. But you also kind of have to do like, well, I told you, you know. And then I also, when you fall, you do fall hard. And then you can get really bored and it can just disappear. So it's not.
And right now.
I think of it as an expander chart. You know, like you're really supposed to expand your horizons. And sometime between 24 and 48, you will settle down. But
what?
I wouldn't, you know, it could be a while more into the 40s, you know, before you. You calm down.
Yeah, Uranus is opposing your sun, and it's going to retrograde back to oppose your Venus, and it's going to retrograde move forward and oppose your sun again. So this winter, you'll never feel settled, and that's okay. Use it as a time to explore and get to know. And you've got a new relationship going, get to know them rather than make a decision about it. Just be exactly where you are in the moment. Now you'll always have that. I want to be connected with the Gemini, with the Libra, and with the Gemini on the seventh house cusp, you can feel connected to more than one person at a time. But with the Moon in Scorpio, you don't like it when they're connected to more than one person at a time. But you also need your time alone. And right now, your progressed moon is moving across the top of your chart for the next, 5 years. So I would say instead of, you know, when you focus on your work, then your relationship life works better.
Yeah.
Because that's something you can put your energy into and you can control. And if you try to make your relationship life your profession, it will, you know, it becomes an addiction. It's never quite enough. But just do your work over the next 5 years and enjoy your relationships and then wait until something really feels solid.
And don't worry that you don't necessarily, you know, like you meet them and then you get bored. That is kind of how your chart's
mm-hmm.
set up. And it's mm-hmm. partly to have, it's supposed to experience the process of love, but it's coming from a very intense emotional space because the moon in Scorpio is really intense and very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going towards a little bit more lightness and a little more laugh and have a good time and travel and enjoy. And really the key with this chart is being honest and saying to people, you know, this is what I can do. I can't do, I'm not going to do more, or this is all I'm interested in right now, and that's okay. Does that make sense for where you are?
Most definitely, most definitely. I wouldn't say I'm set in any particular mode. Like, I do like my freedom, and I don't
mm-hmm.
like to be in a controlled space with way too, I guess, just, I don't like to be, you know, reined in.
Yeah.
Right. You don't. But you like
so
the
being honest about
connection.
That. Yeah.
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 So find a way where the people can, you know, the make sure people are accepting you right where you are and enjoy that intensity of connection and don't feel reined in until it really grows on you. Right?
Mm-hmm. And it will if you think of it as an intense moment in time and it's perfect as it is, and then it might not be more. It's just that. If you remember the song from Sound of Music, there's a song, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria? And one of the lines in is, how do you catch a wave upon the sand? And I want you to kind of think of your, you know, that the energy comes in, it's like a wave, and then when it goes out, it goes out. And we don't get mad at the oceans because they commit, but they come back in, and then they go back out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think
mm-hmm.
of it kind of as that ebb and the flow, that'll help a lot. But the problem is, in the culture, we like to possess people. We like to say, you're mine and I own you and you can't do anything. And I tell you, anybody doing that to you, you're rolling. So you want to kind of just be really clear with them and say, there's a book, I think it was by Thomas Wolfe, and he had this attorney and he would sit them down at the beginning and he would say, okay, this is the deal. This is how I work. This is what I do. And, you know, this is how it's going to be. You know, and he kind of says it ahead of time, so that people can
mm-hmm.
opt in or opt out. Because you're also very seductive when you turn it on, and they might think like, oh, wow, I found the guy from my dream. Because you are really pretty dreamy, too. But you also are in the dreamy part. They go, oh, I found the man of my dreams. And then you're kind of like, oh, that's not me, you know. So you have to kind of go, okay, I'm, you know, I am, you are the man of my dreams, but you're not necessarily available the way I might want you to be. So that's a hard part for your chart,
mm-hmm.
and that is something you're coming in to learn how to express. And trust me, it's not easy because people are going to get really addicted to you, and you're going to
mm-hmm.
have to say, you know, don't get so addicted to me.
And you're
going
to have to notice how you set that up, that
yeah.
you like that and that you are a little addicted to the chase part of the relationship. And just kind of notice your mixed feelings, be honest about it, and be right where you are. And that
right.
honesty will make it work for you. But meanwhile, love your work. Go explore the intensity of your work over the
yes.
next 5 years. Okay?
Over the next 5 years. Thank you. I appreciate
mm-hmm.
it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you
Good
so
luck.
Much.
You're welcome. Have
sure.
fun with it. Happy
Take
Thanksgiving.
Care.
Yeah.
Yes, you too. Enjoy
Bye.
Your holiday.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
and
he's very delicious.
Yes, does
People
look
would
like
have
it.
A hard time. He is so delicious. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No,
so,
they will. They
and
don't,
I don't think
but
they'll
I want
mind their short
like,
visit.
Yeah.
But you know, again, that's the no relationship is wrong as long as both people want the same thing out of it. It's when
right.
there's an unequal, whatever it is that's not equal
right.
becomes the problem. And when
right.
you pretend you want one thing but really you want another, when you're not honest with yourself and therefore you're not honest with others, that becomes the problem. But
right.
there's a lot
and
of room
funny.
In there if you're clear.
A lot of room, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I was talking with a friend of mine, and she's very funny, and she's a very sexual woman. So we were
mm-hmm.
talking about how she met her husband, and she said, oh, you know, online dating. And I said, oh, okay, that's kind of
mm-hmm.
cool. And she goes, well, I don't usually say this to very many people, but because they're
mm-hmm.
judgmental. We met on an online
mm-hmm.
dating thing for people that wanted
mm-hmm.
to just have a lot of sex. And he had just come out of a relationship, and I was just out of my relationship. And so neither of us were planning on committing. You know, we both just met. And but then, of course, it was like magic, and it worked. You know, like it was, you know, like we met. We're just going to meet for sex. That's totally cool. And but then it became like we're now married, and we're happy and living happily ever after. But I don't tell people that it was a sex dating site. You know, and I started to laugh because she's like, but I really wanted to sex. I didn't want to. I didn't know I wanted a relationship. So it's also being
but
really
as soon as
clear
she
about your relationship.
But as soon as she was thoroughly accepted, then her heart started to open up.
Yes.
And that's
yes,
the
yes,
interesting
yes.
part.
Yes.
So
yes.
acceptance, that's another, that's, you know, segueing into what can you do for your relatives this weekend. Tomorrow, accept
them.
That it is what it is. Don't worry about the time zone. Everything's going to run late, and let it run late. If you hurry too much,
void.
That's when the mistake happens. You drop the turkey, you know.
You forgot
you'll
to turn
you'll throw the pie
on.
Grandma accidentally. Right. All of that, if you don't slow down, and when things start, if accidents start to pile up, like little snafus, slow down, take a deep breath, laugh about it, and start over again. Because if you don't, then they start to snowball.
Right.
So we can work into that. That'll
like
be great.
A plan. All right. So we'll see you all
Wonderful.
Next week. Have a great Thanksgiving, and, enjoy the food. Oh, enjoy the
yes,
food.
Yes, indeed.
And the fun relatives.
Take
talk
care.
To the fun ones. Play with the kids. Don't talk to the difficult ones. And have a great Thanksgiving.
Wonderful.
So,
take
yeah.
care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.